Please take your Bibles and turn with me one more time to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, and I'll remind you there is an outline that's available if you'd like to use that. While you're turning there, let me just take the opportunity to tell you how deeply thankful I am and our family is for this time among you and this opportunity to serve and to be with you. We really just feel your love and appreciation and your care for us, and we're just so thankful for this time. It's really been a blessing and encouragement to us. It's gone quickly, the time has, and we will miss you all. We'll be thinking of you and praying for you, especially as a new under-shepherd comes to take up his work here among you. I'm actually going to have you keep your finger there in Matthew 6, and I'm going to do a brief reading first from 1 Chronicles 29, beginning in verse 10. And the reason for this is that David, in his prayer and his blessing, after all the materials had been given and gathered for the building of the temple, he uses some of the very same words that we see in the conclusion, the traditional conclusion to the Lord's Prayer. And so I want to read that for us first. 1 Chronicles 29, verse 10 through 16, and then we'll flip back to Matthew chapter 6. So, people of God, hear now the word of God. Therefore David blessed the Lord before all the assembly, and David said, "Blessed are you, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, and the glory, the victory and the majesty, for all that is in heaven and in earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord. And you are exalted as head over all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you reign over all. In your hand is power and might. In your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. Now, therefore, our God, we thank you and praise your glorious name. But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to offer so willingly as this? For all things come from you, and of your own we have given you. For we are aliens and pilgrims before you, as were all our fathers. Our days on earth are as a shadow and without hope. O Lord, our God, all this abundance that we have prepared to build you a house for your holy name is from your own hand and is all your own." That's where I'll end the reading there in 1 Chronicles. I'll turn back then to the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6, Jesus teaching us on prayer. And I'll begin the reading at verse 9. And read down through the end of verse 13. "In this manner, therefore, pray: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we come to your word this morning eagerly because we know yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory. And so we pray now that through the preaching and hearing of your word, you would build your kingdom and you would show your power and use your word by your Spirit powerfully and bring glory to your name. Lord, as we've just sung in Psalm 19, we ask that your name, your word, would revive us and make us wise and fill our hearts with great delight. Lord, make your word sweeter to us than honey and of greater worth than stores of finest gold. We ask that the words that will be spoken would be pleasing in your sight and that our inmost thoughts would be right in your judgment because you are our rock and our redeemer. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. These words form the fitting conclusion to the Lord's Prayer and have been used by Christians for two millennia. The petitions of the Lord's Prayer give way to praise. Really a crescendo of praise, an outburst here at the end of theology and doxology to the glory of God. Praising His eternal attributes of authority, power, and glory. The prayer began with God and it concludes with God. And this closing doxology, I think, does three things. It expresses our focus, our foundation, and our faith in prayer. What is our focus in prayer? It is God. What's the foundation for prayer? God. And what is our faith in prayer? God Himself. And the doxology or the conclusion rivets our attention on God. It also answers a basic and vital question. Why pray? Why pray to this God? And why pray in this way for these things? Because God our Father owns the kingdom. Because He has all power. And because all glory belongs to Him forever. That is why we pray. That is why we pray in this way with faith and with hope. Because of who God is, because of who He's always been and who He always will be. And so as we conclude this morning our study of the Lord's Prayer, we do so in praise, fixing our eyes on the Father to whom we pray, the one on the throne to whom belongs the kingdom and the power and the glory forever, the one able to hear and answer our prayer. And so, brothers and sisters, children of God, make Him the focus and the foundation of your prayer and our prayer. Make Him the reason why you pray with faith and sincerity from your heart, with expectation, looking to God as your Father. And as we consider this conclusion this morning, I want us to simply consider the key words in the doxology. Kingdom, power, glory, and then finally the word Amen. That's our simple outline for this morning. I want us to look closely at those words. And so first of all, kingdom. Yours is the kingdom. Father, the kingdom is yours. It belongs to you. Not me, not anyone else, but you alone. And with these words, we confess God's ultimate ownership of the kingdom. We acknowledge the fundamental fact that He is sovereign and that the kingdom is His, and we praise Him for it. The kingdom belongs to Him because He is King. He has formed it and He has brought it into existence and He is forming it. He's conquering the kingdoms of darkness and bringing sinners into His kingdom of light. And this is good news. It's a fundamental fact we need to fix our minds on. This is why we pray. This is why we pray in the second petition, your kingdom come. God's kingdom can come and will come because He is King and it is His kingdom. When I worked as a contractor for a time, we would occasionally make suggestions to customers about style and color of building materials. It was rare, but anytime we did that, we would always say something like, but it's your house. Yours is the house. We wouldn't say it exactly that way, but that was the point. Yours is the house. It's your decision. You're the owner. I'm just the laborer. Well, the words here in the conclusion put us in our place as subjects of the King, as servants, as laborers. It's not our kingdom, it's His. God, it's your kingdom. You own it. You have all authority. It's your purposes because it's your kingdom. If it was our kingdom, or if the kingdom belonged to someone else, we would have no hope. If life and salvation was about making our kingdom, or putting some other king on the throne, putting us on the throne, this would make no sense. But this is a confession that you and I and no one else is king. This world and God's work in it is not ultimately about us. It puts us on our knees before the rightful King and the rightful owner of all. Yours. Yours is the kingdom. And because His is the kingdom, that means His kingdom is not of this world. It's not measured by the world's standards. It doesn't need the world's strength, the world's money. It doesn't seek the world's glory or recognition. Yours is the kingdom. And we need to remember this as we pray and as we live in the sinful kingdoms of this world, in this fallen world. We need to remember that His is the kingdom when His kingdom is opposed, when it's rejected. God is sovereign over His kingdom. If it's His kingdom, then He's sovereign over who comes into His kingdom, where and how and when it grows, or suffers, or faces setbacks. But we are in good hands. Thank God that it is His kingdom and not ours. And when you pray, your kingdom come. Father, your kingdom come in me, in my family, in my friends, in my neighborhood, in our church, in Sudan, in China, in State College. You can and you ought to pray that with boldness and confidence, with expectation and peace, because it's His kingdom. It's His work. He's invested in it. And because it's His, it will progress as He pleases. It will go according to His plan. It will come and it will endure. Don't forget the second to last word here in verse 13. Forever. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory. When? Forever. That word forever modifies kingdom as well as power and glory. It's God's kingdom, not just now, not just for a time, not just for a little while, not just in the past, not just when things seem to be going well, but now and forever. His kingdom will never be destroyed. Earthly kingdoms will come and go, but God will be king forever. Now, Jesus taught us this model prayer knowing that He was Messiah. He was the anointed one, the anointed King, sent from heaven who would return to heaven victorious after His death and resurrection. He would go to the throne of God in heaven. He would be given all authority on heaven and earth. And so as you pray this, as you're reminded that His is the kingdom, fix your eyes on the King, on risen King Jesus. Make this a foundation, a core confession of faith that drives you to prayer and to praise. to hope and confidence that drives you to serve your King and seek His kingdom. Yours is the kingdom forever. But second, pray also because yours is the power. Verse 13, yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Yours is the kingdom and the power. God has kingly power. Yours is the power. And here is the power of prayer. Not in we who pray, not in prayer itself, but the one to whom we pray. The one who hears our prayer. The one who is in heaven. The one who has all power. And prayer springs from two fundamental realities. Our powerlessness and God's almighty power. Or our cannot and His can, if you will. What is impossible with man is possible with God because His is the power. And so we pray. James 5, verse 16 says, the prayer of a righteous person has great power or avails much. And James illustrates that power by Elijah and by Elijah's prayer. But he says Elijah was a man just like us. Elijah had our nature. And the power of his prayer was not Elijah, but Elijah's God. And friends, we have the same God, the same Father in heaven today. The same is true for us. I think one reason why there's little bold, persevering, sincere, reverent, believing prayer today from so much of the church is because we don't believe these words. Yours is the power. Or we live as though they're not true. Or we forget. We doubt that truth. God is all powerful. He's omnipotent. It is His power that brought this world into existence. It's His power that upholds the universe every minute, every day. It's His power that parted the Red Sea, that sent manna from heaven every day in the wilderness. It's His power that crumbled the walls of Jerusalem, that made the lame to walk, the blind see, that rose Jesus from the grave. It is His power that saves you and sanctifies you and gives you eternal life. It is His power that causes His name to be hallowed, His kingdom to come, His will to be done. It is His power that gives you daily bread, that forgives your debts, that delivers you from temptation. God is able to hear and answer your prayer, our prayer, because His is the power. He is God. And the Greek word for power, kids, you might enjoy this. The Greek word for power is dunamis. And you might hear in that, that's where we get our English word dynasty or dynamic, dynamite. It means energy, ability, force, might, strength. God has dunamis. He has dynamic, explosive power, controlled power, sheer, complete, full ability and potential in Himself. He can do all things. What reason to pray? What reason to go to Him with our needs? What reason to confess our inability, our lack of power, our weakness, but to believe and pray in faith? Now, just because God has all power doesn't mean He'll always do what we ask, or that He'll do it our way, or when we want something. But when you pray the Lord's Prayer, when you Use it as a guide. You know God has the power to answer. You know you're praying according to His will. You know He is not limited. He is not held back in any way. Not only does He rule and reign and own the kingdom, He has all power to do so. He is no puppet king or God. He is no figurehead. He is the real deal. He has power. He has power over sin and sickness, Satan, sorrow, pandemics, riots. He has power over all things. He has power to answer your prayer, our prayer. And so, brothers and sisters, pray. Say to the Lord, "You are powerful. Yours is the power. I am not. I am not powerful. Help me. Help us. Show us your power, even in our weakness." Do you believe His power? Have you forgotten or taken your eyes off of the power of our God? Maybe some of you have lost hope in certain areas of life, or you've given up praying about something or someone, or you've lost hope to change, or you're discouraged and you can't see the light. Why? Why are you tempted to stop praying? Does God not have all power? We don't understand His ways. But we can own our lack of power and fix our faith on His full power. Yours is the power, not mine. You can do as you can, do as you please, O God, because yours is the power. 2 Peter 1 verse 3 says, "His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness." This means every time you think you can't do something good, you can't do God's will, you think we're stuck, we're making an excuse, we're not relying on His power. All things are possible with God. Philippians 4:13, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Friends, believe in, proclaim, pray based on the fact of God's infinite power. God is glorified and showing His awesome power and answering prayer. Ephesians 3:20, "To Him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." Yours is the power. And that leads us, third, to glory. Yours, for yours is the glory forever. Yours is the glory. Here is the purpose of prayer. The purpose of all things. God's glory. To Him belongs all glory. Now, the word glory comes from a Hebrew word that carries with it the idea of weight. But don't think of physical weight necessarily in relation to God. When glory is used in reference to God, it signifies His gravity and His greatness, His abundance and worth, the internal weight of His character. God possesses a weight, a significance, a glory in Himself, in His being. And part of what we're saying here, when we say yours is the glory, is that God is glorious. Glory belongs to Him. It is of His essence. God's glory also refers to the expression and the revealing of His glory. His eternal glory, internal glory, being shown and communicated, exhibited. God is the source of all glory. He is all glorious. His glory is everywhere evident in His world, in His works, in His Word. And so we see His glory. We recognize that. We're able to see that as creatures made in His image. But glory is also something that we can reflect and give back to God as we respond to Him, as we worship Him, as we recognize His glory and respond with awe and faith. We don't produce glory ourselves or give God glory that He didn't have, but we recognize His glory. We praise His glory. We become exhibitors of His glory as His glory shines in and through us, as we reflect and deflect His glory back to Him and say with our lives and our lips, "Yours is the glory." God gets all the credit for all that is good and right and pure and true. All glory comes from Him and belongs to Him and goes back to Him. And as we pray, we make it our hope that however He's pleased to answer our prayer and direct our lives, that the glory will be His and that He will be glorified. And true prayer itself gives glory to God in its very act, because it says, "I'm lacking and I need You, God. You're powerful and I'm not. You're all sufficient." And when God answers prayer, it gives glory to Him as well, not to us. Now, in our sinful nature, we're constantly battling this desire for our own glory. We want the glory, don't we? But here, as we say, "Yours is the glory," we get it right. God, Yours, not mine, not ours, is the glory. Romans 11:36, "For from Him and through Him and to Him are all things. To Him be glory forever. Amen." And you know the cry of the Reformation, "Soli Deo Gloria," to God alone be the glory. People of God, is this your prayer? Is this your longing? Is this your faith? Yours is the glory. Is this what you expect and hope? Is this your purpose in life? For God to have all the glory, that He will have all the glory. Your prayer and your life must seek to proclaim this. Remember the very first petition, "Hallowed be Your name." God, be glorified, be honored, be known and loved and worshiped for who You really are in all Your holiness and glory. May it be. Because Yours is the glory. And what's amazing is that God reveals His glory and shares that glory with us. God acts for our good out of the riches of His glory to His glory. Philippians 4:19-20. "My God will supply every need of yours according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever." Brothers and sisters, pray because God is rich in glory and He will be glorified. Make His glory your focus, the foundation of your prayer and your life. His is the glory forever. Well, that leads us to the last word of the conclusion, which is really easy to overlook, and that is the word "Amen." Amen. "For Yours," verse 13, "for Yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Amen. Now, we can use that word rather mindlessly and flippantly, can't we? But this word has a very precise meaning and reason for being placed at the end of prayer. The word "amen" means to be true or sure, firm. It can follow or precede other words in order to add emphasis and signify importance and sincerity and truth. Jesus often used this word before making a statement. Truly, truly, I say to you. Amen, amen, I say to you. It communicates to the hearer, listen up. I mean what I say. And it functions in much the same way when it follows our prayer as well. It concludes our words with an emphatic statement of sincerity and truth. It puts a stamp of ownership on the words. It means, so be it. It expresses a heartfelt desire as well as a confident expectation. Amen. Lord, so may it be, so will it be, if it is your will. And so when you say amen as you conclude prayer, it means, Lord, I mean what I've said. It expresses your hope and your expectation. It reflects that you have spoken in truth and you truly want what you've asked for and you believe what you've said. Far from being a mindless tradition, a word that simply signifies the end, well, I'm done, the prayer's over, this word shows a mindfulness and a sincerity. It communicates to God, God, you are my Father. I know you are real, and I know you hear. You've heard what I've said, and I'm in earnest. I'm sincere. This is what I truly believe and what I want. And so this word encourages true sincerity and heartfelt praying with faith in God. And thus, it is a very fitting way to conclude your prayer. And when you pray the words of this prayer, or you use it as a model or a guide, you can know that you are praying in truth and according to God's will, and you can add a hearty, confident amen to such a prayer. You can pray with bold, confident expectation and sincerity, because prayer is not an empty religious exercise. It is real communication with the glorious, powerful King, with the living God, with your Father in heaven. And so you add a lively, emphatic amen, because He knows you and He loves you and you Him. And so, brothers and sisters, pray in such a way as to truly be able to say amen every time you pray, because you mean it and because your eyes are fixed on your Father, who has the kingdom and has the power and has the glory, and you believe that. When you pray, when you conclude prayer with these words, with this doxology, you praise God. You lay the foundation for prayer. You focus your thoughts on Him. You express your faith in Him. You remind yourself. You show why it is that you pray, and you expect Him to hear an answer. And you're not telling God anything He doesn't know. And I don't think you're saying anything that most of you don't know already either when you use these words. You're simply recognizing and acknowledging Him, praising Him for who He is, who you know Him to be. And yet our minds are prone to wander, aren't they? We quickly forget who God is. We start living as though we were king. We try to live in our own power, for our own glory. We so easily take our focus off of God and put it on ourselves. But this whole prayer, and especially the closing doxology, reorients us and points us heavenward and says, Him, His kingdom, His power, His glory, not mine, not yours. God is God. Trust Him. It fixes our gaze on the true God. The doxology reminds us who we're talking to, our Father in heaven, to whom belongs the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. What a God. What a gift prayer is. What reason to pray and to hope and to praise. He is where the answer will come from. He is where the power comes from. It is Him whose will and whose kingdom we seek. And the purpose of our prayer is ultimately His glory. And so, dear brothers and sisters, children of God, disciples of Jesus, pray then in faith. Pray then in this manner, with your eyes on your Father in heaven, because His is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, how we thank You and praise You for this time we've had in the past 2 months in Matthew 6, sitting at the feet of Jesus, so to speak, learning to pray. Lord, teach us to pray. And even though we've spent many weeks here, we're also aware that we've just scratched the surface and we have much to learn, and we have a need for our faith in You to grow more and more. How quickly we forget that You are our Father in heaven. How quickly we are to forget that we need daily bread from You each day. That we need forgiveness. That we're weak and easily fall to temptation. How quickly we begin to seek our own kingdom and the hallowing of our names. Father, instead we ask that Your kingdom would come and Your will would be done, that Your name would be hallowed. And we pray that You would make us more of a people of prayer. Strengthen our faith. Let us not leave this time in the Lord's Prayer and quickly forget. But Lord, may this make an impact on our daily lives and our prayer and the corporate prayer of Your people here in this body of Christ. And may You hear and answer, because Yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. We pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen.